Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
You guys have notes?
Feed has notes. I have things to say.
Okay. This podcast has done a huge 180 in the last year.
Yeah.
Warning, this podcast may contain bad language and content that some listeners may find offensive.
Well, it has been a palaver to get everything sorted.
And I left you no jumping off points. Something about eye patches, yep. Pirates.
Which has absolutely nothing to do with this episode. Pirates.
Welcome to Seesaw Podcast.
With your hosts, T, Cleves and Selena.
Every week bringing some much needed balance and humour to brighten up what can sometimes be a dark, disabled world.
Welcome back one and all to Seesaw Podcast, the show that is never out of reach and does tell you that dreams can come true.
Wow.
We have it this week. And very much on trend. You can tell that I've listened to some Gabrielle today.
It's good of you. Well, it's quite bright, isn't it?
My
prep. We've got the sunshine through our window at the minute.
Any more?
No, it's something about Rise.
Well done. They're all the hits. Yep.
So this week, we are going to be discussing singer, songwriter, British icon, Gabrielle, who is coming back with a new album, is doing some touring at the moment, including doing a bit of supporting of Sir Tom Jones, if you're into that sort of thing.
I personally am not.
I'm not a fan of old TJ, but Gabrielle's pretty good.
So you sure you... What? Your wife told me that for your anniversary, you danced around to Sex Bomb, sexually. With a thrust on every bomb.
So Gabrielle is coming back. But why are we talking about Gabrielle? Well, Gabrielle is not only known for her music, but also in her early career, wearing an eye patch because of a lazy eyelid. There's probably more to it than that, but that's all I could get from articles I read. So she was known for wearing an eye patch when on stage, when recording, and in later years she forgone the eye patch for a very large fringe to cover her eye. An article's come out, an interview with BBC Wales, which you can find on BBC Sounds, if that's your jam.
It's BBC Radio Wales. BBC Owen.
Yep.
That'll come back to bite me in about 3 years.
Yep, absolutely.
We can't even do white accents.
Nope. And on this radio show, Gabrielle said that she would like to, well, she's considering bringing in the eye patch back because it made her feel empowered. So we thought that we would have a little chit-chat about this and see what our thoughts are as members of the VIP community.
So she wore this eye patch, right, according to this Radio Wales interview. For about a year, basically, after her first, like, it was a number one single called Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And, like you said, she said it felt empowering. And previously, she felt insecure or self-conscious about doing interviews and not wanting people to look at her lazy eyelid, basically. So she would look other places than at the person interviewing, and she felt that it was coming across as rude. So she started wearing the eye patch. I'm not actually sure why she stopped, though. I'd be intrigued to know that. Because there's all this empowerment speech, but you only wore it for a year.
That's true. And I couldn't find anything myself unless you found something, Selena, but I couldn't find any reason given for not wearing the eye patch after that. But she has gone through lengths to hide her eye pretty much on every album cover, every picture, like photo from that point, wearing, like, having her hair in a way that covers that one eye.
Yeah, I don't know if it's because if she was medically advised to wear an eye patch originally, because that's what, I don't know, I think that's what you do when you're younger to, like, help the other eye catch up. And I don't know if that's what the reason was originally, to see if it would fix the issue, and perhaps it didn't. But yeah, I don't ever recall actually ever seeing her lazy eye back then. I do remember wearing, like, big sunglasses, again, with the fringe, and it was always covered. Mm. But it was just her, and it was her look. And that was her thing, rightly or wrongly.
Yeah. I think that's what's interesting about this. Like, when you mention Gabrielle now, I mean, some people might be able to read off some of the songs, but I think a lot of people would be, even though she wore the eye patch for a year, in the mindset of, oh, the singer who wore the eye patch. And I think that's become a bit synonymous with her, as, like you say, like, her look, the way she did present herself during those early days, like, her career after Dreams came out.
It's Freddie Mercury's moustache.
Basically, yeah.
There are other famous moustaches out there, but for the wrong reasons.
You're not wrong.
Charlie Chaplin's, for example.
And other people who may have resembled Charlie Chaplin's.
Is this a good thing, though? Because it sort of hides your disability, but at the same time, it does also point it out.
Yeah.
Well, one thing that I immediately thought of is, I get the whole, it, if it makes her feel empowered, they go for it. That's amazing. I want everyone to feel empowered, feel comfortable in their own skin. But what I got confused about is, oh, I couldn't look people in the eye. I didn't want to answer questions about my eye. I felt that I was being rude and wanted to look at people. So my solution was to wear an eye patch.
Right.
As if that doesn't draw even more attention, like a jet black eye patch.
Yeah, but it draws it to the patch rather than to the actual eye. It just draws the attention away. It makes you wonder, what's under that eye patch?
That's true.
Maybe it adds an air of mystique.
Maybe it does.
I think she made her disability fashionable in a way. I don't know. I can imagine fans of Gabrielle going to see her in concert or wearing an eye patch.
For, like, no reason, even if they didn't have a disability.
Yeah. Just because that's, like, a thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a lot of artists, isn't it, who have a certain look and people dress like them or, you know, I don't know, wear face paint like them or have the same hairstyle as them or anything like that. It's a look.
I go to a Kiss gig and everyone's going to be face painted up.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think you're right. It's more of a symbol of, like, that identity for the fans and for her. I mean, if I'm being a bit cynical, she's done all right. It isn't though she has been inactive since the days of the eye patch. She has been active. She's coming back now with a new album and is now having discussions about whether she should bring the eye patch back. But it's not as though she's not been active without the eye patch. It's potentially a means to get in the media, become relevant again.
Potentially. Also, she's not saying she'll do it. She says she'd consider it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, again, she's not committed to doing it or not doing it, but she has gotten time on a radio station to discuss it and promote a new album.
Convenient.
I mean, that's a good thing.
I mean, like I said, I don't want to be super cynical because, like, she did talk about it being empowering and made her more comfortable, but is it entirely that? I don't know.
It's sort of borderline crossover, isn't it? Because she was quite relevant during the 90s. Let's be fair. That's the heyday.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
With, you know, people like us growing up as kids, we knew who they were. People who kids don't necessarily know Gabrielle's songs now. So it's a bit of crossover in the sense that there's potentially a little bit of media coverage there. It might spill over a little bit into sort of disability media and, you know, being proud of disability, even though you're sort of covering it up, but you're sort of not. So there's that side of things there. But really, you're speaking to people our age, which, if you were a kid in the 90s, you've probably, unless it's happened very recently, come to terms with your disability, you know, or a lot of people will have. Anyway, here's my questions, because I've got a shit ton. At what point does not using a disability aid become detrimental to you as a person? For example, I could walk to work now, but unfortunately, I have to use a cane because I might accidentally walk into someone. And if I do, and they don't know I'm half blind, they're like, what the fuck are you doing? Get out of my way. So maybe if I use my cane, I have to be happy in myself. Will it make me self-conscious? Yeah, probably. But I've got to come to terms with that because it's not for my own safety, but you know, other people know it stops me from getting into awkward situations. And I felt like originally, maybe that's what Gabrielle's done. She was self-conscious about her eyelid, and she said it was making her look rude when she was doing interviews because she was deliberately looking away from stuff. But because she's got this, it's not even a disability aid, but do you know what I mean? The covering for it. She feels now that, oh, people already know I have an issue with my eye. Therefore, because they know, it's not an issue and I can just get on with my life.
Yes.
What was the question?
What was my question? When does not using a disability aid become detrimental for a person?
Well, I wouldn't say she's a detriment by using the eye patch or not using the eye patch, but we're talking in general.
Yeah, but she was saying she was looking rude to people that was interviewing her. But now she's got the eye patch on and she's, you know, focused on the people, potentially she's going to come across better in interviews.
True, but in 30 years, I like to think that things have improved. With, you know, we've got to remember the internet became widespread and widely used during that time when it wasn't before. And there's been a certain degree of normalization of various things like disabilities, ethnicities, genders, sexualities. There's been a normalization. Is it where it should be? No, it's not. But I think there's been a lot of big changes. And there have been other people in the space who have had similar situations to Gabrielle, who potentially haven't made a big deal of it, or they've made it a bit of a joke and like just not really given a shit. Coming to mind, Ramesh Ranganathan, who has a lazy eye, doesn't wear an eye patch.
He is a comedian by trade.
He is, but he doesn't use his lazy eye that much in his comedy.
No, he doesn't. That's a good point.
My question is, let's say you're interviewing a new artist for the first time and they're sort of deliberately looking away, maybe sort of trying to hide like a lazy eyelid or something like that. As an interviewer, what are you thinking most? Oh, probably a disability there or two. Bit rude.
Yeah, bit rude.
Even in this day and age.
Bit rude, yeah.
Moving on to my next question. Whose responsibility is it to actually vocalise their disability? Do you think Gabrielle was right to do so, or do you think the interviewers should have done their research more?
I mean, you can't rely on everyone to know everything about everyone. It comes down to the advocation for yourself that we've spoken about numerous times. I think if you feel as though it's going to be an awkward and unusual situation and you might feel a bit self-conscious about something, it is your ability to flag that with people. And yeah, it doesn't take much. Like, I do it at work. Because of my nystagmus, if I meet someone, I will say to them, oh, by the way, another one of my conditions, I think you see the guide dog. So one of my other conditions is that I have nystagmus. My eyes will just dart around. And just because I'm not making eye contact with you doesn't mean I'm not listening. They just will drift sometimes and sort of flick all over the place. It doesn't mean I'm bored. It doesn't mean I'm skittish. It just means that that's just something that happens.
Yeah, but you still have that initial guide dog to let people know. It's open from the beginning. There's more like almost hidden disabilities in a way. I mean, short of wearing a sunflower lanyard, you kind of just got to tell people.
Yeah. That comes down to the individual, doesn't it? Like whether you're comfortable doing that or not.
Anyway, and if you're not comfortable doing that, is it other people's responsibility to know? If I could want to walk down the street, right, and I might be doing it slower than other people, and I might accidentally walk into people on the way, and if they turn around and say, fucking watch where you're going, whose fault is that?
Yours. I think...
Okay, good. That was the answer I was genuinely hoping for.
If you're not going to have the conversations with people or put things in place to demonstrate that you have additional needs, then you can't get pissy when people don't acknowledge that. It's not their responsibility to learn you.
So you think it's fine that interviewers thought she was rude because she didn't have an eye patch?
If she's been interviewed quite a lot, then maybe, you know, things get around. But I don't think it's their responsibility to learn about her. I think it's also her responsibility to have that initial conversation. And I think if you are interviewing a lot of people because you're releasing a new album or your single's hit number one, then maybe your agent should be doing a better fucking job.
True. But I'm just talking about trying to relate the same situations to people that aren't famous in any way.
I mean, it's your responsibility if you're not famous. But in her situation, I think her agent should have done more. And I will say, I don't know what her agent did or did not do. So I can't say one way or the other. It might have been that it just fell on deaf ears and just nothing happened.
Right. You know, if, for example, some of these interviewers did think she was a bit rude, or...
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
For example, I don't know, maybe you're deaf and then someone's speaking to you and they don't think you're listening to you and you haven't flagged the fact that you're partially deaf with them. Can you give the person that thinks you're being a bit rude a bit of a pass?
I think it's a matter of being adult, isn't it? Just, yeah.
Because according to, I've written down here, all of social media, it's everyone else's responsibility. And they should know exactly what the fuck is wrong with you without you telling them in any way.
I like what you did there.
Direct quote.
It's also not even written down.
Social model, baby.
This is my point. People don't know unless you give them some sort of indication. And you might not want to do that because you feel self-conscious or insecure about it. But long term, if you do that, I'm not going to laugh at that, people will then start to get more of an idea about it. And this is in general society. But it also moves me on to my next question is, should people, celebrities, influencers, that sort of thing, that have a disability, do more to promote their disability if they have one and start to normalize it through social media?
I think it's that personal choice. I don't think it's... Not everyone wants to be their disability. Like, they don't want that to be their most self-identifying thing about them. That's not what they want to be known or famous for. And I think that's fine. That's personal choice. You don't have to be an advocate if you don't want to be an advocate. You're entitled to that. People may disagree with you about that, and especially when, you know, a slot or a minority and all that. But yeah, I mean, Gabrielle clearly doesn't want to be a visually impaired advocate. She'd rather hide her disability, essentially, rather than owning it, although she's owning it in a different way. She's actually made her possibly more famous by having that eye patch.
I think you mentioned it earlier, she sort of made it fashionable, and she said in the BBC Wales radio interview that that's what people can do, you know, they can bejewel it or have a fancy looking one or whatever, and she's like, oh, you can make it a part of you. It doesn't have to be your existence, but making it fun as opposed to something that is negative.
Yeah, she would be work quite for good. A year.
But perhaps that was enough at that point.
Yeah. I think it's also important to potentially spotlight, does advocation really achieve what people think it might achieve from a celebrity standpoint?
I think it probably would. You know, there's a lot of people out there on social media with so many millions of followers. You know, if Taylor Swift just for a year, wore an eye patch to promote some sort of, I don't know, visual disability.
True, we're talking about mega famous. I think that's different, like cult following famous.
Yeah, no, but if, okay, fine. But if more people did it, you know, People don't, do they?
I think people expect so much. Like, they expect social followings to do so much, where I think a lot of people will just go, oh, that's cool, and scroll past. I think that's the majority of it. I think it's better than nothing, absolutely, but I think to think that it's going to have some major change on the world based on one individual advocating is a little bit naive.
I'm just saying, a lot of people have influence out there, and they have big spheres of influence.
True, but I don't see Gabrielle as one of those necessarily.
Burn!
Yes, number one. But she didn't have mega, well, maybe there are some mega fans out there.
All right. But like, let's say circa 1993, and you had the same situation with, you know, social media and everything, perhaps she would have the ability to make huge gains for that sort of thing.
True.
I think she would have got a lot of stick on social media around back then for doing that and hiding her disability.
You can't please everyone. I mean, some people literally exist on social media to have a disability and bitch about other people.
And there's the other boot.
You are just saying. Why not be positive about it?
No, I get it, and I do agree. But I also think, going back to Selena's point, it's entirely up to them. If they want to do it, great. If they don't, it's fine. It's individual preference.
Exactly. Everyone's entitled to choices. You have a choice to use a cane or a guide dog. Like, some people have a guide dog because it's more fashionable.
Yeah.
Not true. People with guide dogs are lame. There, I said it. Well, by that, I'm basing it on the two people that I know that have one.
Right.
Now, if I haven't alienated everyone yet.
Yeah.
Do you want to get a run-up for the next quote?
No. I figured you two were the last guys that had some sort of acceptability for me. I thought, go for broke.
Okay. Without any context of this, I'm just going to make a parallel between me and Gabrielle. Both because we're fantastic singers. But also, I have nystagmus, and I do have one eye that doesn't work. So in essence, I could do the whole eye patch thing. But I'm not going to do that.
Why not?
Lame, I already told you.
Because I think it's just a bit too ostentatious. I think it invites more questions. For someone who doesn't want to advocate in the space, it brings a lot more questions than answers people's questions.
But isn't that the point? The idea is to generate questions, to educate.
But Gabrielle has clearly said that she's not really interested in that, or she hasn't said that she is interested in it. Been a bit blasé with it. Like, she's not advocating for it. She just said that, you know, you should be proud of who you are, which is a generic line that all artists use. So she's not doing anything special there. You know, come down to the interview. Maybe she is wanting to advocate. I don't know. We can only go from what the interview says. But we also know that she is considering bringing it back. She hasn't even said she will or not. She hasn't worn it for a long time. But yeah, it's super empowering to her. I can't see empowerment coming from me wearing an eye patch. I think it will invite a lot of attention I don't want. And I already get a lot of attention because of a guide dog with a long cane and my eyes being a bit skittish anyway. Do I want to also be that bald guy with a beard walking around looking like fucking Odin from Norse mythology?
King of the gods, mate. Yes, please. You can have some like six skulls on there, maybe a few like bit of bling.
Absolutely not. So she hasn't inspired me to wear an eye patch. Even though I could wear one, not having any impact on my impairment, and would hide my right eye, which is the craziest nystagmus one out of both of them, because it doesn't have sight, it just does what it wants. But I don't feel inspired to do it, so I think the whole...
If I bought you one, would you wear it?
I've got it on stream. But
would you really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's the secret, isn't there?
Would you? See, so podcast gifts.
It won't even be an eye patch. It'll be a beer man, a rubber band.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Fucking Boddington's poorly cut.
I'm conscious about my eyes, though, as well. Like,
especially
two eye patches. In photos, though, like, I'm always like, oh, how do my eyes look? Which way am I looking? Am I looking the right way? Like, because I don't want to be like when they go out, I don't want them to, I don't know, I want to look normal. So I understand her not wanting to look different. I don't think I'll ever be comfortable with me in a photo with me looking up to the ceiling or whatever.
Do you ever wear sunglasses to hide that?
No, I've never ever done that.
Okay.
Why is that though? Like, why don't you want to wear like the sunny G's? Do you think it's
because generally I'm quite lucky in that my eyes do look quite normal. Although my left eye has got calcium buildup, so it looks quite blue and apparently. But generally, like, my eye shape are pretty all right. I don't look blind. But what does blind look like? But yeah, I'd never cover it up, but I am conscious of it. But then also, going back to the Cleves talking about walking to work without his cane and that, do you know, in a way, I think maybe you should be allowed to walk around without your cane if you don't want to. Like, just thinking about England camp, the guys, the B1 men, all very low vision or no vision. They walk around the hotel and everything without a cane, and they do, you know, make errors, like going into the girls' toilets like they did at the weekend. But I think that's nice that they have the confidence to do that, to go around in that public space.
Yeah, I wish I had the confidence to do that as well. Oh, whoa, sorry, girls, wrong toilet.
But you're also in a hotel with, what, a dozen? Maybe 24 blinkies.
They've probably been informed in advance.
Yeah. No, but it's a public hotel. It's the Hilton. Like, there are members of the public there.
But there's a lot of blinkies around. So maybe it's that you get the confidence from people around you. There's a large group of you. But would they be like that if they were on their own in a hotel? Let's say it was just one of those guys in a hotel.
I think they might. They seem like that kind of people. If they go somewhere quite regularly, they want to be independent and they don't want to just be banging around with a cane.
All right, but do you have the responsibility as a disabled person? Let's say, for example, right, you don't want to use a cane because you think, oh, I'm all empowering. That's fine. I get that. What if you walk into an old woman and knock her down?
That's unfortunate.
And it also is your responsibility because you didn't let her know that you can see her. So you're responsible for that. You do have a duty of care to not hurt other people. Mm. You can do what you want, but if you're going to cause damage or hurt someone else through your because you're not willing to signpost others to your additional needs, then you are liable. Because if that old woman has seen the long cane, she might have fucking moved. She didn't know that you're going to book it straight into her, break her hip. Yeah,
it's got damaging very quickly.
Mavis could have just stepped to the side after spotting it.
Or even just said hello.
Yeah. I think if you're not going to signpost it, if you're not going to flag it, then don't complain when bad shit happens.
Ooh.
You know, if you do cause some issue, then you can't complain about it because you haven't given people the knowledge. And again, you can't expect them to know everything about you, internet. So I think you can't complain if you're not going to do that. And okay, you might feel self-conscious about it. You might not feel empowered by signpost, by using a long cane or whatever mobility or access like tool or aid that you need. Like, yes, you might feel self-conscious about that. But if you're going to choose not to do it and something does happen, you walk into someone and then they turn around and hit you in the face, not saying they're going to, but, you know, I don't know where people frequent. Then don't complain if you haven't got a long cane. You know, you have a choice to use that or not use that. The consequences came as a result of you not having it. Yeah, they might have still done it, but are the chances as high? Absolutely not. They might turn around, like, I've knocked into someone, they turn around, look at my long cane, oh, sorry, mate. Well, it could have been a very different situation if they didn't see a long cane. So,
in summary, learn to love yourself.
Yep. And if you would like a seesaw eye patch, you can make them yourself.
And they'll say, learn to love yourself on them.
They will, if you write that.
I can tell you what, I probably saw something like that in Benidorm, but it was very different.
Yeah, I'm sure it absolutely was. So, to those listening at home, what do you think? What's your hot take on this? Because we really want to know. And as always, you can catch us on the following links. And if you have an idea for a topic, an idea for what we should discuss going forwards, also drop it in there. But until next time, have a lovely time.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Seesaw Podcast. Your feedback and comments mean a lot to us, so if you'd like to get in touch, you can do so in the following ways.
You can find us on X at Seesaw Pod, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Seesaw Podcast. You can email us at seesawpodcast@gmail.com. And you can stream us live every week on Twitch at Seesaw Podcast.
Remember to like, rate, review, and share with a friend.
This podcast was recorded in front of a blind audience.
You stop twitching first rather than stop the recording.
That's fine, that works. If anything, that's probably better.
It doesn't matter.
Like the last time we were just chatting shit for a while and I was like, oh, you're still on stream. I was like, oh yeah.
Yeah.